Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. I'm Dave Barber, lead pastor at River Valley Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Each week, we spend time looking into God's Word with the purpose of allowing Christ to transform us by the renewal of our minds. We hope that you make hearing and studying God's Word a consistent part of every week. We are wrapping up Ephesians today, Ephesians 6. So as they come, if you want to get their attention and get a Bible, you can do that. Before I jump in, we are going to kind of switch things around this morning. I'm going to actually begin teaching, and then we'll take some time to worship and singing, and then we'll take some time to worship in prayer and singing, and we're just going to do some things a little differently as we conclude and wrap things up today. So I hopefully it'll make sense by the time we're finished, but it'll be a little different in the way we go this morning. Let me just begin with a wrap-up, if you would, a reminder of what Ephesians was about. Paul always writes his doctrine and then the application. And so we began with that. And in the book of Ephesians, the doctrine, the theological part, is about our wealth we have in Christ. We are, as it lists a number of things, we are called according to his purposes. We are forgiven by the work he did on the cross. We are redeemed by his blood. He redeems us. He adopts us as sons and daughters. He goes on to say that we have hope now in Christ, and he seals us with his Holy Spirit, who is a guarantee of what's coming. And we are seated in the heavenlies with him, meaning our position is fully in Christ at this time. And then he goes on to say, talk about the immeasurable love of God. You probably remember that. So that's the theological foundation. That's the wealth we have in Christ. And then he talks about our walk, how we walk in Christ. And I remember I talked about reflecting God. Whenever we live in the way he lived, it reflects him. And we talked about walking in light. We talked about walking in love, talked about walking in wisdom. We talked about what it meant to walk in that as a husband and a wife, as a dad and a son or daughter, as a slave or free. And then we got to this third part, which is kind of the bonus in Ephesians. So we have the wealth, we have the walk, and then we have the warfare. In the last few weeks, we've been talking about the warfare we have, the battle that we're in terms of this world that we live in, and how to work and navigate through that. So with that said, as your last recap, hopefully you have a good picture of what Ephesians is. And what we're going to do today is we're going to begin by reading this text, which we've read a couple times. We're going to read all the way to the end this time. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 24. You won't need a Bible because the text is going to be on the screen. We're going to read it responsively. What I mean by that is I'm going to be the leader, and I'll read the leader's part, and then you'll read the congregational part, okay? So what I'm going to ask you to do is just stand as we read God's word together, and we will read this responsively together. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak, so that you also may be know how I am and what I'm doing. Tychius, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Now you may be seated. Thank you for reading God's word together. So as we wrap up, I'm going to basically look at two verses this morning, verse 17 and 18. We're wrapping up. We finished with the helmet of salvation last week, and here's where we'll pick up. So take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So we're to take on the sword of the Spirit, which he tells us is the word of God. Now, this particular sword, the word for sword here is not the long sword. It is certainly not the William Wallace sword, the 5.5-foot sword that he wielded with two hands. No, this is about an 18-inch sword. And it's a sword for close fighting. It's a sword that you do battle in. It's kind of a daily sword, if you would. And so he says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. How important is the word of God? Well, it doesn't get much more important, does it? I was thinking about reading scripture. I'm reading with two buddies, as you know, and we were in 2 Corinthians now this week. We read 6 chapters, and 3 times in the first 6 chapters, there was kind of this text that had to do with this. So let me read one of them, 4, 8 through 11. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake. I don't know, this showed up 3 times in the text in the first 6 chapters, and all of a sudden it struck me, by the way. Another way to say that was, I, as I read it, began to put on the belt of truth. There's a truth here. I got to thinking, how could I read the Bible over and over and then fall prey to Satan when he does those jabs where he goes, God must not love you because he's letting you have a hard experience. Or God must not be good because you're having this trial. God must not be faithful because he's letting you go through this bad thing. If it's true, if the scriptures are true, what he says over and over and over again in the scriptures is that if you follow Christ, you're in a battle. And there will be trouble. And there will be hard things. So how in the world can I go from there in my head to thinking that God is mistreating me when I have a hardship? That doesn't make sense. See, the belt of truth, you put it on because we have the word of God and it begins to help make things make sense. Ephesians 6, 12 and 13 says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the evil day comes, you'll be ready. John the Baptist was beheaded. Peter, he was crucified in Rome. Andrew was crucified in Turkey. In Greece. Philip in Turkey. I think it was Bartholomew who was skinned alive. As you read these accounts throughout Scripture and you read what he says is going to happen, where did you get the idea that if you follow Christ, everything's going to be easy and comfortable? It doesn't make sense. And yet, it's one of Satan's biggest weapons he uses. Is to tell you God's not being good to you. Think about Jesus in Luke chapter 4. Jesus has been in the wilderness. It's a desert. He's been there for 40 days. He's hungry. And Satan comes to him to tempt him. And the first thing he comes to him and he says is this. Well, if you're God, you can hear the accusation, right? Well, if you're God, why don't you turn these stones into bread? What's he say? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. He quotes scripture as he faces this battle. And so Satan doesn't give up. He takes him to a high place above all the kingdoms. And he says this. He says to him, to you, I will give you authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I'll give it to you, I'll give it to whomever I will, if you will just worship me. And so he sees all the nations, Satan will look at him, he says, I've got them, and I'll give them to you if you'll worship me. First of all, that's a little terrifying, isn't it? But it's also true. How did Satan get control of the world? How did he get authority here in this world? How did he get power over it? Well, Adam and Eve chose to sin. They chose not to allow God to rule their hearts. And so when they did that, it opened up the world to be Satan's. And so he is called the prince of the power of the air. And he has great authority on this earth. And he looked at Jesus and he said, I'll give you all these things if you will worship me. What does Jesus say? Well, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God only and serve him. Again, he uses scripture. Third, so then Satan takes him to a pinnacle of the temple, and now he's going to test God. He's going to accuse his father. And he says basically to Jesus, here's what you do. He says, Jesus, just go ahead and fall off this thing, because in the scripture, it says that God is going to give his angels charge over you so that you don't fall and break your foot on a stone. So he's going to take care of that. So just fall off and see if God's good. That's what he tells him. And Jesus again answers, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Do you see what's happening here? In every attack that he comes his way, he uses the word of God. He stands on the word of God. By the way, all three of those quotes are from Deuteronomy, in case you're wondering about reading Deuteronomy. It actually is what, as a matter of fact, it is the most quoted book in Jesus' life. He quotes Deuteronomy more than any other book. And this phrase, the word of God, or that God said 700 times in the first five books. 4,000 times in the Old Testament does he talk about the word of God. Are you catching this? This is important, right? This is incredibly important. Imagine yourself going into the ring of battle without a sword. Would that be fun? I mean, the best I understand that, that would just mean you're going to get a beating. Your armor may hold. You may survive it, but you have nothing to push back with. All you have is a helmet, a breastplate. I mean, you're just going to get beat up. He says, no, I'm going to give you a sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, so that you can push back. Without the word of God, you will suffer many doubts. Without the word of God, you will not understand Satan's schemes. Without the word of God, you will not be able to command your enemy when you have authority over him. Without the word of God, you will be susceptible to all the lies from that evil horde. But with the word of God, you can know that God is trustworthy. And with the word of God, you can see his schemes coming. And with the word of God, you have power and strength to address these things and to push back. I don't know whether you noticed who's fighting here, did you? The sword of the Spirit. Someone said it this way, the word of God does the work of God by the power of God in his Holy Spirit. In other words, we are to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Do you know that faith, for the most part, is often you and I surrendering our assets so that we can be empowered by God? Do you know what I mean by that? Our assets? You know, some of you think that you're really smart. Oh, I'm pretty smart. I can usually talk people into things. I got a great brain, God. Not that great. Surrender it and let God show you what he wants to do. Oh, you know, God, I'm really good at, I'm strong. I can stand against all kinds of things. Not so much. Surrender it. Give it to God and trust that he has power for you. And so we surrender those things in faith. And we stand firm in him. And so we're talking about the sword of faith, which is the word of God. And then he goes on in verse 18 to tell us to pray at all times. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying with all the Lord's people. So here's what we're to do. We're to pray. In the Spirit, not something strange, in the Spirit. The Spirit's given to us as a down payment. Pray with discernment, pray with understanding, pray as the Holy Spirit leads you, and that's just part of having the Holy Spirit in you. Pray in the Spirit, pray on all occasions, pray with all kinds of prayer, and pray for the Lord's people. Have you noticed that this is the main way we fight, is in prayer? I mean, this is the main thing. What really happens to us is like, well, nothing else is working, so I'm going to pray. I mean, that's kind of the way we get to it. But it really is what he's given us to do, to pray, to come before him quickly. I think it's John Piper who said that, unfortunately, a lot of people think that prayer is the bell you ring to get the butler to show up. But he says it's not. It's actually a walkie-talkie in the time of war. That's the right picture. When Daniel is in Babylon in captivity, and the king is going to kill all the wise men because he's tired of them and because they can't interpret his dream, what does Daniel do? He cries out to God. He begins to beg God. He fasts and he prays, God, show me the answer. It's a walkie-talkie in the middle of battle. It's a lifeline when you're engaged in the trouble. I don't know if you notice this, but there are some things that Ephesians 6 didn't say. And I think they probably need mentioned. He didn't say, put on the helmet of your great intellect. You are so smart, you will be able to badger and talk and coerce people into doing the way you want to do. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, put on the breastplate of your pride. I mean, you're amazing. And you, in your own strength, can probably do all kinds. You're clever. You should just put on your own breastplate of your own strength. That'd be great. He does not say that. He doesn't say that you should put on the shield of anger and slander and malice and wrath. I mean, don't let people hurt you. Hurt them first, but don't let them hurt you. Give them what they deserve. He doesn't say to put that on. And he doesn't say that we should put on the belt of blind acceptance so that you don't have any problems with anybody, and so you're just love. He doesn't say any of those things. You get them? Those are our things. Those are human things. Those are not divinely powerful. Those are the things that you and I model. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but is against rulers, against authorities, against the power of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So learn to pray. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. You want to begin with some teaching, then we're going to do some worship and teaching, and then we're going to do some worship and song, and we're going to end up today by taking some time to pray through a number of issues that we hope will be helpful for all of you. And so I tell you to pray in your position. Do you understand that when you pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are praying in your position, being seated with Christ in the heavenlies? You are praying in his victory and his authority over all darkness. To say those kind of things as I'm praying in Jesus' name, I'm praying and I'm claiming the position that I have in Christ. And from that position, you can renounce the works of the devil. And from that position, you can command Satan to leave you alone. It is praying in your position. When you cry out, Abba, which is the phrase daddy. For me, when I'm crawling to my heavenly daddy, I say, Lord, oh Lord, you know I'm undone. Lord, I'm hurting right now. I'm hurting because I lost a friend, or I'm hurting because this thing has happened, or I'm hurting because my child is far from you. Lord, I'm hurting. And I pray as a son of God. And you can pray as a son or daughter, right? He adopts us, we're his. We pray in those positions. When you pray for others, I told you last week, it was like lifting the big shield, the 2.5 by 4.5 foot shield, and holding them up together and squeezing together so that the shield becomes like a roof over us. You understand when we pray for each other what we're doing? We are lifting a shield of faith, and we're together being stronger. We're protecting each other. We're lifting each other. We're encouraging each other in the midst of that kind of prayer. And when you pray, Father, forgive them for the wrong they have done, do you know what you're doing? You're dying to self, aren't you? I mean, in order to forgive someone, what you basically have to do is say, I'm not going to collect this debt anymore. I'm going to entrust it to God. I'm going to forgive them. And you understand when you do that, you are dying to self. You are saying, I'm not collecting this debt. By the way, that's kind of what Jesus did, isn't it? He who knew no sin became sin so that you and I could be righteousness. He became our sin. So every time we forgive, we reflect God's forgiveness to those who don't deserve it, right? This is the picture. And so as we pray, we take up these positions, if you would, in prayer. I want to leave you before we begin to sing and to worship God in song with an image. And the image is one I gave you early on in the book of Ephesians, and that is that we are sheep. We are not well equipped for fighting. That's who we are. We will fight. We think we have strength, but we usually wear ourselves out pretty quickly. On the other hand, we serve the Lion of Judah. We serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. In other words, what I want you to learn to say is not, I can do it. That's a world thing. What I want you to say is, I'm with him, and he's big. I'm with the holy God. I'm with the perfect one. I'm with the one who reigns above everything. I am with him. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We believe that everyone needs to be connected to a local body of believers. If you are already a part of another church, that's great. If not, we'd love to see you on Sunday morning. You can connect with River Valley on Facebook or rvcoshkosh.com.